morning and welcome. Welcome to all of our friends, visitors, family, distant relations. Welcome to you all. It is good that we are all here together, and together we will encounter God in word and in sacrament and in the presence of each other. And welcome, dear church, to Lent. And we bring together the cognizant that our bulletin has shifted a bit, so pay attention where things are going to be a little different. And I'd also like to extend a warm welcome to Luis Abbott from the Synod Council. There she is in the back. She'll be joining us today, visiting us. I'm making a kind of, she's the representative for the South Coast Cluster. And so if you have any questions or Synod Council-related issues, you can talk to her. With all that being said, again, welcome everyone to worship, and let us begin today with the word in our bulletin. Come, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn us that he may heal us. He has struck us down and he will bind us up.
After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up, that we may live before him.
Let us know, let us press on to know the Lord.
His appearance is as sure as the dawn.
I invite all those who can stand to please stand now for opening hymn, knowing that if you cannot stand, the church stands with and for you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Most merciful God,
we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of God and by his authority, I therefore declare you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord God, our strength, the struggle between good and evil rages in us and around us. And the devil and all the forces that defy you tempt us with empty promises.
Keep us steadfast in your word, and when we fall, raise us again, and restore us through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
And now we invite our children to come forward for a children's message. How are you all today?
Good.
Enjoying the cold and the rain?
Yeah.
Shocking the system.
Shocking the system, yes. Well, welcome back. And you, do you know what today is in terms of the church calendar? Lent. It's the first Sunday in Lent. We can talk about that another time. But what does that also mean? We have a little bit of a tradition. Someone come here. I need a volunteer. I need two volunteers. Here, take this. And then take that. And then walk out. Okay, go that way. And then hold it up. So we have a tradition, folks, that there's a word we don't say in Lent.
Yeah.
And we're going to bury this word. And for the next 40 days, we're not going to say this word. Because Lent's a time for retreats, where we slim down, we do things a little differently, a little bit simpler. So everyone in your bulletin, you have a green little piece of paper that represents this word, and we're not going to say the dark green piece of paper. There's a light green and a dark green. I think that's something. It should say the word we're not supposed to say. So children, I think you know what to do. What do you need to do right now?
Bury it.
Well, now, first, we need to collect everybody's word. So go out into the world. Conquer the word. People, you're on your honor system. Is anyone else holding on to it? Forget about the, no, did you have one?
No.
Right. Just double checking.
Go get the pile from out there.
No, that's okay. We got that. But okay, now let's go secretly bury this somewhere where no one knows. Why do you look at your face? Oh, no, don't forget Charlie. Charlie's going to be in here. Yeah, come in here. Okay. We're in here. We'll do it soon. Okay, right. Y'all got to remember where that was put. I won't. All right, so friends, we're going to pray now. So on the count of three, we're going to bring our hands together. Okay? One, two, three. And repeat after me. Dear God.
Dear God.
Thank you for loving us.
Thank you for loving us.
Thank you for life.
Thank you for life.
Amen.
Amen.
And children, you are off to Sunday school.
A reading from the book of Genesis. Hear now the word. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to till it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You may freely eat of every tree of the garden, but at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall die." Now the serpent was more crafty than any other wild animal that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God say you shall not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden, nor shall you touch it, or you shall die." But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise. She took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made loincloths for themselves. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm may be found on page 5 of your bulletin. I will read the light print. Please reply with the bold print. Psalm 32, happy are they whose transgressions are forgiven and whose sin is put away.
Happy are they to whom the Lord imputes no guilt, and in whose spirit there is no guile.
While I held my tongue, my bones withered away because of my groaning all day long.
For your hand was heavy upon me day and night. My moisture was dried up as in the heat of summer.
Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not conceal my guilt. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. Then you forgave me the guilt of my sin.
Therefore all faithful will make their prayers to you in time of trouble. When the great waters overflow, they shall not reach them.
You are my hiding place. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance.
I will instruct you and teach you the way that you should go. I will guide you with my eye.
Do not be like horse or mule, which have no understanding, who must be fitted with a bit and bridle, or else they will not stay near you.
Great are the tribulations of the wicked, but mercy embraces those who trust in the Lord.
A reading from the letter to the Romans. Hear now the word. Just as sin came into the world through one man, and death came through sin, and so death spread to all because all have sinned. For sin was indeed in the law, in the word, in the world before the law. But sin is not reckoned when there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who did not sin in the likeness of Adam, who was a pattern of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died through the one man's trespass, much more surely have the grace of God and the gift in the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for the many. And the gift is not like the effect of one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation. But the gift following many trespasses brings justification. If because of the one man's trespass, death reigned through that one, much more surely will those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, just as one man's trespass led to the condemnation for all, so one man's act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all. For just as through the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so through the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
Tempted by the devil. He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him,
If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. But he answered, It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, He will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, Again it is written, Do not put your Lord God to the test. Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Jesus said to him, Away with you, Satan, for it is written, Worship the Lord your God and serve only him. Then the devil led him, and suddenly angels came. Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Welcome to Lent, dear church. Lent always can be a bit of a mystery of exactly what we're supposed to do or what it's about. I propose to you today that the story of Jesus in the wilderness is really the model and the symbol of what Lent can be for us all. And there's an interesting thing about this. It seems to revolve around three, let's call them, power centers. Centers of a need. We all have need, food, clothing, shelter. The second one is that of a scene. And that might not be the best word for it. But we all need to know that we are loved, that we're valued, that we have meaning. And the third issue here is that of control or power, and we all need to have some sense of control and power. After all, it is not a virtue if you don't have the free will to do it or not to do it. So we all, to be healthy, full humans, live our full expression in the world. We need to have our needs met, we need to have a good sense of esteem, and we need to have a sense of. And when I say it like that, you go, hey, all these things are good things, aren't they? Well, yes, they could be, right? In fact, if you're a parent or a caregiver, this is the task that you're assigned when there's an infant in your care. You need to give them the basic needs. You need to raise them with a sense of esteem that they are loved. And eventually, you give them their own autonomy. We all know, if you're a parent or a caregiver, that moment when your child decides that they need today want to dress themselves. Of course, it's a blessed moment unless you're in a hurry. But as the infant grows, you want them to have their needs met. You want them to have a good outlook on who they are as an individual. And eventually, they take their own control of their world. And because infant's primary fear is the fear of separation, what do we give them? Blanket, the teddy bear. And these things become symbols to them, that they are loved, that their needs are met, that they have some control of something. And so, as I'm always telling you, friends, we live in a symbolic world. The infant grows up in a symbolic world.
So these things are all good. But notice that temptation is to take these three centers, these three things that are very important for fullness, and we absolutize them. We make them into idols. We make need into hoarding. We turn esteem into look at me. And of course, power goes into that realm of domination. And speaking of symbols, we all at some point maybe put aside the teddy bear or the blanket, but then we take on other symbols, like a new car or a prestigious job, new friends, power. And so the question is for Jesus in the wilderness, is will these three centers be the centers of fullness, or will they become their own idol? And theologians have often pointed out that one's ultimate concern becomes one's functioning God. So if your ultimate concern is money, you might as well make money your functioning God. If your ultimate concern is your esteem, then that becomes your God. And of course, if it's power, that's your God too. And in Scripture, there really is only one and only one sin, and it's idolatry. Because those idols of ours, they don't set us free. They ensnare us. They enslave us. And so we know this for a fact. If money is your idol, you will never have enough money. In fact, you will grow up acutely aware of how little you have. If esteem is your idol, you'll never have enough. You'll always be afraid of losing what you have. Same thing with control, friends. If you think control is your God, you will never have control. That is the slippery slope. That is the danger of idols. And as I often point out, in America, I think we worship security. And so we have a security industrial complex all around us, and yet you never have felt less secure in the world than you do at this moment. And so that is the temptation in and of itself, friends. To make an idol of that which is supposed to be the things that bring us fullness. So what is the antidote? Well, Jesus shows us the way. First, it's always to hold these in the proper balance and to worship God. Trust God alone. We see some of these temptations lead into the question of, will Jesus be his own Savior? Jesus trusts God for his needs. And finally, the question is, we render to God our worship. We are called and invited to realize that our full potential as humans is reached when God becomes the ultimate in our life. And we see this in Jesus' life as well. He said, you walk through this text, you will see that Jesus does everything in this temptation story in his ministry because it's held in proper balance. He feeds the hungry, raises the dead, heals the sick. His esteem is found, his identity is found, and he is the Son of God. And he dies a king. Everything he's tempted to do, he does. And friends, Jesus shows us, invites us into this mystery, that the antidote is to love God and love our neighbor. Love God and serve our neighbor. And that is why Lent invites us into a period of retreat. The whole church is to find one of those power centers that attracts you the most, that tempts you the most. And trust me, we're all tempted by all of them daily, right? But to choose one, find a symbol in there that you feel like you can't do without. And do without it for 40 days, friends. And then you'll realize, hopefully, that you're not that thing. But here's the good news, friends. This is not about our effort. Because Christ has already won the victory for us. You will be, you are a child of God. You will be, you are being transformed in the image of Christ. The race is won. And so, friends, Lent is an opportunity to walk deeply into who you truly are. The race is won, so you have nothing to fear. You have nothing to lose. So go out, live the world, love your neighbor, experiment on finding a way to grow deeper in your knowledge of God. And finally, friends, you don't need to turn bread into stone, because our bread is right here at this table for us, the presence of God. Christ poured out for you. You come, take, eat, go out, love, and serve God. Amen.
Reconciled by God's mercy and sustained by God's presence, let us pray for the world and its needs. God of all grace, grant faith to your church. Give to all the baptized the will to resist temptation and to worship and serve you alone. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of all creation, tend this earth. When human greed and disobedience threaten this planet and the life it contains, lead us by your Spirit into ways of reverence, awe, and gentleness. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of all nations, preserve us from trouble. Surround all living in places of violence with your steadfast love and give resilience to all who work for peace. Grant courage to those who challenge, especially around issues of racism and systemic oppression. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of all healing, mend our wounds. Bring wholeness to all who are sick. Give peace to all who groan in grief. And send companions to all who are lonely or isolated. Especially we pray for Joe, Carol, Misty, Annette, George, Vince, Dietmar, Michael, Marty, Victor, Corinne, Julie, Paul, Mike, Kenneth, Paul, Jill, Bran, Kayla, for immigrants and refugees, that they may be treated justly, their dignity honored, and their rights upheld. For victims of war and violence, for victims of natural disasters in our nation and around the world, and also for those people whom we name aloud or in our hearts. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of all people, provide for your community. For any among us who hunger for bread, bring nourishment. For any among us who hunger for truth, speak your life-giving word. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of all life, bring us to you. We thank you for your free and abounding grace. For those who, by the same grace, now rest eternally in you. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Receive our prayers, O God, through Jesus Christ, our strength and salvation.
Amen.
May the peace of Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
I invite you all now to share the peace of Christ with those around you.
invite us to come back together and please stand for our offering now. Steadfast love embraces all creation. You send rain and sunshine to nourish the earth and bring forth its beauty. Through these gifts of bread and wine, draw us into the death and life of your Son, who calls us to bear witness to his saving work. We ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your heart.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. You call your people to cleanse their hearts and prepare with joy for the Paschal feast, that renewed in the gift of baptism, we may come to the fullness of your grace, and so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Creating the heavens and the earth. Praise you for saving the earth from the waters of the flood. Praise to you for bringing the Israelites safely through the sea. Praise to you for leading your people through the wilderness to the land of milk and honey. Praise to you for the words and deeds of Jesus, your anointed one. Praise to you for the death and resurrection of Christ. Praise to you for your spirit poured out on all nations. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people, for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me. With this bread and cup, we remember our Lord's Passover from death to life, and we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
O God of resurrection and new life, pour out your Holy Spirit on us and on these gifts of bread and wine. Bless this feast. Grace our table with your presence.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Reveal yourself to us in the breaking of bread. Raise us up as the body of Christ for the world. Breathe new life into us. Send us out, burning justice, peace, and love.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Friends, you may be seated. This is the table. This is the feast of God for all the people. And all means all means all, which means all. And if you're present with us this morning, you are part of the all, and all are invited forward to receive from this table. In a moment, the ushers will come around and we invite you to fill. We'll start with this side and to fill our altar rail from right to left. And you may receive communion either standing or kneeling, whatever is most comfortable and appropriate to you. While you come with your hand extended and the bread will be given to you. We have gluten-free options upon request. Just signal that to me somehow. And then when the wine comes around, you can reach in and take the red cup, which is wine, or the clear cup, which is grape. If you do wish to come forward and only receive a blessing, you may still come forward, just come with your arms crossed, and I will say a prayer with you. And also, that is the last Sunday of the month, so it's our healing service as well. So Deacon Sabina is in back by our baptismal font with oil, and so you can come forward for communion, go and see her if you want prayers and anointing. All are invited, all are welcome. The table is set. Amen.
Thank you.
body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, keep us in grace.
Amen.
Let us pray. God of our salvation, we give you thanks for this meal that restores our souls, reconciles us to you, and strengthens us for the journey. Through the body and blood of your Son, may we become Christ's body in the world, bearing witness to your love for all creation, through Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Amen.
Friends, we just paused for some announcements and a lot going on, so I then invite you all to take a special look at the words of the week, but we just want to highlight that it's book club week, so both on Tuesday and Thursday, we read a book called Orbital. If you want to join that discussion, or if you haven't read the book, join the discussion anyway, Tuesday and Thursday. Wednesday, we also have both our contemplative prayer service at noon and hold an evening prayer at night with Lent and soup and supper at 6. So join for any of that. We are extending our contemplative prayer to include a meditative practice for Lent. So if this is something you are on the fence about or just want to try out, this would be a great Lenten discipline to deepen your faith. So you're invited to all that. Pay attention to everything else in the words of the week, and then we also want to highlight the words that I wrote as well, which is we have on the greeter's table these Lenten caterpillars. And this might be a fun activity for us all to focus on an activity for Lent you want to do. So go out and do a great deed, a small deed, a big deed. Spend some extra time in prayer, write that on the caterpillar, turn it in on the table. On the greeter's table, we have a cocoon. Now, friends, Lent's journey is the lead to Easter. And what do caterpillars do? They go into a moth, and then they're transformed. So maybe this is a fun way of getting ourselves into the rhythm of Lent. You know, what we're really doing is trying to be transformed. We want to see what happens to these in 40 days. You never know what's going to happen. Well, I'd also now like to invite Luis Abbott forward for a few words. And I forgot to mention this, but there's a
good morning.
Good morning.
It was it's a great honor for me to be here today and worship with you. Again, my name is Louise Abbott. I am your representative to the ELCA Oregon Synod Council for the South Coast Cluster. So there are 6 churches in the South Coast Cluster, and Atonement Lutheran is in that cluster. I live in Brookings, so it's kind of hard for me to get up here, so I apologize for not getting up here to see you more often. But anyway, I want to bring you greetings from the Synod Council and from our Bishop, Bishop Lori Larson Caesar. I also want to thank you very much for your mission support. You may call it benevolence. Some churches call it benevolence, but we kind of call it mission support now. But that's the monies that you give to the Synod for the work of the Synod. And you're faithful, and we really, really appreciate it. The Synod wants to thank you for that. You may know or may not know that 42% of all the mission support that is given from the churches in our synod goes to churchwide. So that supports the work of the church at the national and the international level. So the work of the Lutheran Church, ELCA Lutheran Church, goes throughout the nation and throughout the world. So you're supporting those actions as well. So thank you very much for that. There's a lot of things that are happening in the synod, and I don't have time to tell you about all of them. But I do want to mention a few of the things that mission support does help in our synod. And first of all, it's our campus ministries. We have campus ministries at Oregon State and at the University of Oregon. And so mission support helps with those. We're also developing some new programs in the synod, and also you can ask me about those after the service. I won't tell you about all of them because there's lots of things that are going on. But I do want to let you know that mission support is helping to develop vibrant new faith communities in our synod. You may have heard of the Together Lab and Queer Enough, who are operating great in the sort of the greater Portland metro area to help support youth and families and help them with their growth in their faith and their work service in the community. We also have faith communities such as Story Dwelling in Bend and Storyline Community in Milwaukee. Again, these are new, vibrant ministries that are being supported in part through your mission support. And so we are growing in faith, we're growing in service, we're growing in our love towards each other. So thank you very much for that. And see me after the service.
Let's take a deep breath as we prepare for...
Take a deep breath as we prepare for the blessing. Receive the blessing of the Holy Trinity, God who calls all things into existence. Jesus Christ redeems us, and the Holy Spirit whose breath sustains creation. Bless you now. Peace, serve the Lord.